Hour number three, Raider Nation Radio, 920. Vince, Vinny, and Clay coming to you on a Victory Monday. Boy, what a feeling. What a difference a week makes, huh? You know, we're sitting here, and we were talking off camera, the MVPs of Game 4. If you were giving a game ball out, who would you be giving it out to? Clay, we were just talking about Jacorian Bennett. Is that who you give it to, Agent Zero, JB?
Yeah, I'm starting to fall in love with the second-year corner.
Vinny, did you have a game ball, or are you still mulling that one?
It's multiple to me. This is one of those games, and I'm not trying to evade the question, because sometimes it's obvious who the guy was, but you can... It was just so on and on and on and on and on. And that's what the Raiders needed to have, let's be honest with you. You know, in the absence of six starters, is that what we finished?
There was five inactives. Michael Mayer was one of those five. Right. I counted those as five starters.
Right.
Plus Epps.
Plus Kuntz.
So seven starters compared to what you projected week one to be.
There you go.
That, you know, but if you want to go from a week to week, six starters.
Right.
Six starters out.
Right, which is...
In a week.
An incredible amount, right? Isaiah Powell, everybody, they needed contributions from multiple people, and obviously you have to do that anyway to win an NFL game. But it just felt like in this particular game, that's what you needed. You could go Alexander Mattison. You can go DJ Turner. You could go Trey Tucker. You can go... Jackson Powers Johnson or DJ Glaze, and so for this particular game, sometimes it'll be
Have a lot of footballs to be pumping up.
I think all of them, because all of them again, when you know, I was told the speech from Antonio Pierce throughout the week to put it on these young players' shoulders, and then Devontae Adams before the game, given the rah-rah speech, which went over extremely well inside that locker room. We talk about leaders stepping up, even though they weren't playing. Devontae Adams was there on site, inspiring his teammates, and guys were talking about that after the game. But ultimately, those players had to respond, and that's exactly what they did. So I'd probably go six or seven deep.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with any of those. But to your point, I'm going to go with one that we have not talked about yet. When we talk about, so obviously the players talked about
Devontae. I think I know where you're going.
Devontae and the rah-rah, right? And his speech that inspired. DJ Glaze talked about how Gardner Minshew came over to the offensive line before the game and had a real meaningful conversation that did something for the young rookie tackle. There's another guy that also apparently had some words for the team. And it's kind of an unlikely guy. I guess at least on the outside in, but someone can cover this team. It kind of makes sense. Adam Butler. Adam Butler apparently spoke with the team this week, and it went over extremely well. So much so that with Max Crosby out, Devontae Adams out, when the captains went out for the coin toss, Adam Butler was one of those guys going out for the coin toss, and he showed up with what I would determine and value an incredible game. He was... fantastic pressures, run stop. Christian Wilkins is obviously an animal, and sometimes he's so good. I don't mean to overlook him and not mention him because he's just his standard is so high. But man, Adam Butler was so good on Sunday, week four, and for you know Antonio Pierce to talk about how he was a leader during the week, during what was a tumultuous week in terms of who's in,
for
who's
sure.
out. On that defensive line, he, along with Christian Wilkins, I think really led that group. And, you know, I don't have the snap count in front of me at this moment, but I know he played a very, very high number.
50 snaps, 85%.
There you go. Very, very high number, especially at defensive tackle where he rotates more often than most. So he's somebody who I'd give a game ball to. And let's go out to the nation. Let's see who they'd give out a game ball to. Who was their guys?
In Las Vegas, it's Raiders 66. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. What a great day, huh?
Yeah, we're smiling.
Always a great day.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
We're on the radio.
I like the guy at the end of the game, too. Snowden was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did you see the circuitous route he had to take to get to Watson? Oh,
yeah,
my
that
God.
Was hustle.
He
That's a word.
Like, half the football field. Yeah, it's crazy. I when I found out that Max and Devontae were going to be out, I thought, everybody's like, oh, what are they going to do? I thought, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
I said, coming off the performance or lack thereof the week prior, I said, complacency had to be part of the reason. And how do you fight that? You put pressure on people. And by having your two stars out, that puts pressure on everybody to ratchet it up and get their game going. You know, there's no more, well, you know, we had a bad game, but we'll get it back this time. You had to, because those two cornerstones were missing. So I thought that was a great way to see how this team responds. And when they responded with a victory, that's my old Raiders. That is what we would have done. And when you think about it, the last three wins that they've had have come against teams that were in the playoffs last year. I know Cleveland's not doing so well this year, but, you know, that, so they step it up when the competition's there. They just have to have a little more even keel. And I think that, the coaching staff did a good job. But I think we found out how we solved two problems with one solution. The running game and the red zone offense. All you got to do is hand it off to the wide receiver. they got two touchdowns, and the running game opened up. And I like the going lateral a little bit instead of just pounding your head in the middle, because one, you use your speed, and two, it does wear down the defense when you get to the third and fourth quarter. So, you know, you get a double bonus. But, yeah, we may have found our way out of this red zone conundrum here. But thanks, guys, for the time. I know you got a lot of calls probably. And have a great day, great week, and let's go Raiders.
Appreciate great call, Raider 66. Thanks so much. And, yeah, that becomes, you know, he said it right there. That's my Raiders. Yeah. That's my Raiders. And now the challenge becomes, and we can get more into what's next, but that was never the question, was the talent of this team. And I think it shows even more so on a week like this, where you had 6, 7, whatever number you want to really put on it, was out, and they were still able to find a way to win. The challenge, as it always is in the National Football League, is consistency. Can you replicate it from a week-to-week basis?
And you say the word challenge, and what I was picturing yesterday as I was getting ready to write my story was, we've seen the shows like Survivor, all those kind of competition shows that where there's some calamity and then the host comes out and lays out the next challenge, right? The next, and you're going to be without 6 starters, and then the camera pan. Oh, everyone, no, you know, and it's you're tasked with coming up with an answer. Without, we're taking this away from you. We're taking that away from you.
It's the cooking shows.
Whatever
you need to cook a turkey dinner.
Yes.
Here's the challenge.
Yes. Yeah.
No turkey.
Right. And you know, the camera pans, and everyone's like looking at each other, like, how are we going to do this? But out of that necessity, inventions or innovation, whatever you want to call it, is created, and that's exactly what the Raiders did. And sure enough, they accepted the challenge. Not only did they survive, they thrived in a lot of ways, and that can only be a feather in the cap moving forward. Because now, from the coaches to veteran teammates that are looking maybe a little bit differently at some of these guys, I know they all believed in them coming into this game. But it's one thing to believe, and then to have that belief rewarded.
Yep.
That makes guys look at teammates a little bit differently sometimes, you know, with a little bit more confidence. And so and again, going back to the coaching staff, yeah, hand the ball off to me and good things are going to happen. That's something that now Luke Getsy is going to be remembering of. I can trust Trey Tucker in this situation, or DJ Turner, or whoever it is, and I don't have to force it in this situation to Devontae Adams or whoever else we're talking about. So that's the beauty, I think, of what happened on Sunday.
You said survive or thrive. I think there's a little bit of both. Survival, yeah. And thrival.
Hey, surviving and thriving.
There was also some Naked and Afraid in there too from last week.
We know where Clay watches. That's no shocker there, but I may or may not have watched that show a little bit, but yeah, doesn't it? It felt like this is the challenge. This is what you're tasked with. And sure enough, they lived to see another day, and they thrived.
It took 4 weeks, but the running game got into gear after the game. Head coach Antonio Pierce talked about the buck 52 on the ground.
Yeah, a lot of pride in that group. And we talked about it's been, you know, not the start that we wanted initially in our season, the first 3 games running the football. But, you know, credit to these guys. Just, you know, listen, let's find the runs that work. And let's keep chipping away at it. And at times, even in the game, there's a 1 to 2 yard run. Then all of a sudden, I mean, what was it? You saw a 24-yarder, 17-yarder, 18-yarder, 12 and a 10. That hadn't shown up. You know, we hadn't even, I think our longest run might have been 9. Without penalties. But I thought, you know, tremendous job by those guys. I thought Zamir backed up, almost, you know, took one. Alex Madison really showed up today. He ran hard. These guys ran hard. I thought we were the more physical team as the game went on.
I love the piece of paper that the coach brings in that has all the answers.
You know what's funny about that? Hockey.
He kind of unfolded it.
Hockey players do that a lot.
Oh, NBA players.
Hockey players love to have the stat.
You got
to
have the box score. Awesome.
Love to have this. They want to know their. Because at the end of the game, minutes are a big thing in hockey. How many minutes did you get? That's the first thing I always
Selfish
look at.
Selfish hockey players. Well,
they got to know. They got to know. Especially in a
the
loss.
In the NBA, how many rebounds did we have?
Especially in a loss, they always look at their time on us. They go, oh, okay. Yeah. Played 14 minutes, huh?
Oh.
That's weird.
Well, yeah,
only 16 shifts, huh?
Right. In the NBA, it's like, how many assists did we have? How many turnovers? But they always have to, like, but he had to unfold that thing. It was like, there, you heard it being unfolded, and he went right to it. And then all of a sudden, magically, all the long runs.
All of a sudden, every, just popped up. Had them all.
24, 13, 9.
24, 17, 18. And those were the difference makers, I think, because I said it in the last hour with our Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen, which we have on every Monday. Just incredible analysis, a little pizzazz he gives us, as well as the football knowledge. But I beg the question to him, by my estimation, guys, Alexander Mattison has been the MVP of this offense. We talk about, you know, high-level, consistent players, game in and game out. I would put Alexander Mattison maybe above everybody. Not maybe. I would put him above everybody. It was the first game he didn't score a touchdown for this offense. On an offense that's averaging about 21, 22 points through 4 weeks of the season.
Which is an improvement.
An improvement, but that's essentially, he's accounted for a third of the scoring for the offense. And week four was the first one he did not score, but I would argue it was the most impactful game he has played as a member of the Las Vegas Raiders because of the way he was able to gash the Cleveland Browns defense. Those big chunk plays that were not there before in that 124-yarder, it made the highlights in Fox 5, a non-touchdown, made the highlights because of how impactful it was to the game. Because after that 24-yarder, all of a sudden, Zamir White is able to break one. And then he has another one that, as you mentioned earlier, just got caught up on the shoelaces or on the pads and got knocked down. So Alexander Mattison has been what I would categorize as a revelation to this offense, because I think that was another question in terms of what is Alexander Mattison really going to bring to this team? Is he going to be a third down guy? Is he just kind of a check down, third down?
I always felt it was going to be a co. That's how it was kind of explained to us anyway. And to what level co was?
It feels more co to be seen. At this point now.
Which is, look, hey, you know what? However it has to go. And we see around the league that there's a lot of co's going on. So it's not really all that unusual. If you had a box score, do you keep track of, like, your talking time? Is that the first thing that you would go to?
Well,
oh,
it would be
28 minutes
24
today.
24-yarder, 17.
28 minutes today. Oh, Vinny had 38. I mean,
I don't know. 34 seconds. Boy, my producers would definitely have those numbers handy.
Pad the stats. Doesn't look happy today. We got to pad a couple minutes here and there.
How many three-syllable words I use?
Yeah, there you go. The analytics.
What did Raiders 66 use?
Circuitous.
Circuitous. It means a circle, right?
A roundabout way?
Just following a circuit.
All
I know, that was a hustle-ass play right there.
It made my eyebrows go up on a Monday for Raider 66 to bust out that word of the vocab. That was fantastic. So 702-365-9200. Still taking your calls on a Victory Monday because...
We should have a word of the day. Like somebody that just drops a brilliant, you know, word. Like,
well, that's the word of the – I mean, I don't know how you top that one after today.
Hey, we still got an hour and, 45 minutes to go.
Bang, bang.
Speaking of which, we love a good story about somebody that needs money getting money that they need desperately. I don't know why I worded it like that, but that's what I did. That's what I did, and because sometimes I throw myself off because I wanted to come up with a catchy word. But look, sometimes we're in a position where we need money, like right now. Maybe it's $500 or $5,000 that you have got to get your hands on to pay for something that just popped up out of nowhere. Maybe you're sweating a little bit because your credit cards are maxed out, or maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Don't. I mean it. Just go to lendingstore.com and have their experts help you find a lender that could get you the money that you need in minutes sometimes, and at the very least, as early as tomorrow. So just go to lendingstore.com. They have all the details. You just have to take about 5 minutes to fill out some fields, have their experts help you find that lender to get you that $500 to $5,000 that you need in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Lendingstore.com for all the details.
Raiders need one play, and everyone in this building knows that's what they need.
There's a ball game.
Watson's in the gun out of the timeout.
They got to get right. They're not right. They're not right. Their coverage is, well, now they're better.
They bring Cooper to the left. There's the snap. Watson pumps. He's under pressure. He's rolling out to the left. Raiders giving chase.
Ball's out. Ball's out.
Sack. Oh. It's Charles Snowden with the sack and the biggest play of the day. Charles Snowden off the edge, back-to-back plays, and the Raiders defense with 34 seconds left.
Let's talk about something important.
Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
And Charles Snowden, the closer, seals the win for the Raiders thanks to Raiders Radio Network for the call of Jason Horwitz. Big Link. Link was not happy with the beginning of how that looked. That was so great, sir. They're not right. They're not right.
Everyone in this building knows that's what they need.
There's a ball game.
Watson's in the gun out of the timeout.
They got to get right. They're not right. They're not right. Their coverage is, well, now they're better.
That's amazing. So good. Love Lincoln Kennedy.
When you hear his game, it's a game within a game. He sees things that it would take like generations to go and unravel
kind of
knowledge he
Link,
puts out.
Link, on our show, Morning Tailgate last week, joined us, friend of the program, was the first one to say, it's a mentality in the trenches. You could talk about scheme, you could talk about stunts, zone, power. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's a mentality. The Raiders took that to heart. And they showed some mental fortitude despite being down quite a few of their starters and were able to pull out the victory 20-16. Guys, we also have to mention, how about UNLV, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What a weekend in Las Vegas. We said it on Friday. The eyes of the football world would be squarely fixated on Las Vegas and Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, and there goes a lot of pressure, national perception that hasn't always been there for UNLV.
Boat raced them.
Yeah.
As I predicted, boat raced dogs from Fresno State.
What a performance from the quarterback, who is a better quarterback, I think. No, I'm not even. It's obvious that he's a
thrower
better quarterback.
Thrower of the pigskin.
Yeah, and he can run as well. And you know, playing Matt Sluka, I know that it could have gone either way. It was a neck and neck competition. But especially now in retrospect, not only were you limiting yourself with Sluka as a quarterback in your pass game and kind of a one dimensional team, which they were a fine running team and he was a tremendous athlete, kind of a Taysom Hill kind of a guy, but your best player is Ricky Jackson,
Ricky White,
the NFL, you know, the future NFL wide receiver. And Sluka was so bad at throwing the ball that you completely negated your best player. So now we saw what happened yesterday with or Saturday with somebody that can actually throw the ball and run the ball, and that offense was unstoppable.
I mean, the defense. Well, I know
that's
the
crazy.
I know
two special teams touchdowns.
Yeah, I know the spotlight was on the quarterback, and rightfully so. Haj Malik Williams played sensational. He was absolutely sensational, and he can also show he can run the ball.
Right.
He can run the rock. I believe he had 90 yards on the ground, close to 100 yards. Mm-hmm. But that defense, man, that defense is a unit.
Yes. A defensive line pressure, but it's the secondary that's come up with huge plays.
And they're led by the linebacker, Jackson Woodard. I mean, he's the captain of this team for a reason. Mm-hmm. He does it on the field, off the field. UNLV, they got another test. It's all about can you follow it up now against Syracuse? But, man, oh, man, that homecoming game at Allegiant against Boise State is looking delicious.
It's a collision course. It's going to be the game that defines the year. And it's something that we're going to be watching very, very closely. Let's get to more calls. 702-365-9200. Las Vegas, the site with Jared. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning, Tailgate with the VVC.
Good morning.
What's up?
I love these Victory Mondays. You know, you guys have brought up, or the callers have brought up, a lot of great players, a lot of guys I would have went to, like Snowden and Isaiah. I mean, Snowden with the, as Coach alluded to in his press conference, full-on Max Crosby effort on that last series with the bat down, with the running down of of Deshaun Watson and almost getting the ball out, but getting the sack good enough. But I'm going to go a little unconventional, and I'm going to say I'm going to give it to Luke Getsy and Patrick Graham for showing a willingness to break some tendencies. I mean, this is something that I wanted to see. I think this is something that all of Raider Nation wanted to see. But Luke Getsy definitely broke some tendencies, whether it be by necessity without Devontae, without Michael Mayer, and Patrick Graham also maybe by necessity, but he did. There was some changeups. There was some different things going on out there. So I love the self scouting. I love them looking and trying to find a different way. So breaking some tendencies, it showed up big on film. It showed up big in that first half. It definitely had Cleveland a little bit confused when they kept attacking the edge. I think Cleveland expected them to be right there in the middle. They kept loading the box. They looked like they were trying to play in a shoebox, especially at the end of the game. But, you know, we'll get those things figured out when we can. But, you know, love to see it. Love the Victory Monday. And let's go Raiders.
Good job, Jared. Nice call. And, you know, if you're working with guys like Marcus Epps, as we brought up before, and how he would never come off the field, but his ability to also kind of like communicate the roles and responsibilities to other players like Isaiah, that came through yesterday, because Isaiah was very communicative, and it allowed, you know, Patrick Graham to dial up exotic stuff in the secondary that really I'd never seen more different looks than I saw in that game alone. And it proved great, because sometimes even Jack Jones would come off the outside corner to play the inside, leaving the whole one side of the field wide open. But they already knew that was going to be a run play, so their ability to communicate that was really exemplary.
Yeah, and the credit that, you know, I was giving Luke Getsy for getting the most out of his players with the personnel and the play calling that he was running, the same holds true for Patrick Graham and the different things. You talk about the defensive line rotation. You talk about what they were doing in the secondary. It was masterful in terms of getting the job done. And you understand now, when we talk to these coordinators during the week, it's games like this where, at least for myself, I find even more appreciation for the game within the game, which is what happens between Monday and Saturday for these coordinators as they try and decimate what they did, build back up, and then scheme against and find the different holes against what they think is going to be coming at them, only to have to adjust, as we saw after the first quarter. They marched down the field, 15 plays, 9 minutes, 22 seconds in a 70-yard drive. Patrick Graham had to make adjustments and had to do different things to not only slow down the Cleveland Browns, but to get some stops. It took the entire first quarter, essentially. So the appreciation for these coordinators, and it goes back to the point you were making, Vinny, last week. You can't just fire these guys because of some. There's a reason they're hired in the first place. It's not just on a whim. They're not just pulling guys off the street. I mean, these are some of the most elite minds in football.
Right. How many coaches have the Steelers had over the years?
Not many.
Right. One of their principal foundational beliefs is to problem solve. All right, what is the problem? And let's figure the problem out before you start firing coaches and bringing in new regimes and changing your offensive coordinator and making all these massive changes, which only puts a lot of strain on now learning a new system. And for every step forward you might take in that process, you're going to have to take a couple steps back and then regain where you know, it's not conducive to building anything that's sustainable. And so you're not going to find somebody walking off the street that's going to save the day for the Raiders if you fire like a Luke Getsy after 3 games. My goodness, it's just ridiculous when you even think about that we're having this conversation. But as you said, that process of figuring it out and putting it together, that starts really Sunday night for the coordinators and the coaches. They're already getting on top of that, right? And then, you know, obviously the final brush of the paint is done by the players on the field, and then the coaches too, collaboratively coming up with answers to things that maybe you didn't realize were going to happen. So, and that definitely happened yesterday. So again, let it play out and give this an opportunity, give the Raiders, this iteration of the Raiders and this iteration of the Raiders coaching staff, a chance to figure out what they are and who they are, and then judge it after it's all said and done.
Clay, one final point, because I think it's a great point about what Patrick Graham was doing in the secondary. You also have to give a shout-out to safeties coach Gerald Alexander. He has been given a lot of credit from the players, as well as the coaching staff, but openly from the players about how much work he's done with those safeties. And you talk about Isaiah Polamalu being ready for the moment. A big reason is because of the teaching from Gerald Alexander. And one other interesting note from the DBs, players are walking into Allegiant Stadium prior to the game. Jack Jones walks in, rocking a Marcus Epps t-shirt. Following shortly behind is Jacorian Bennett wearing Marcus Epps' jersey.
Nice.
You talk about...
That's cool.
You know, that's why, you know, fans here, oh, it's the closest group we've ever been. But you hear the DBs going about for Jacorian Bennett in the summer. Marcus Epps goes down. 7 days later, they're wearing his gear into the game as a sign of solidarity. And then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just see how close they actually are, which is why when the communication does come together, it makes sense because that chemistry, that bonding, makes it easier to have harder conversations and be able to celebrate with one another and play for one another.
And as just another complimentary nature to the team, each time the Raiders scored a touchdown on offense, the defense followed it up with a three and out. So little things go a long way, especially in a tight game like that. Let's get one more call before the 940 spot, where we'll give you a chance to win some tickets here. 702-365-9200 out to Florida with Gwareb. Good morning, Gwareb. It's been a while.
Hey, yes, it has been a while. How you guys all doing?
Hey, good, thanks. Go ahead. What do you think of the game? Who do you give a game ball to?
Oh, the game ball to McAllister, I think. Yeah, I would give it to McAllister.
McAllister?
Yep.
What? What did he do?
No, actually, you know what? I would actually give it to Tucker. But what I thought the game was, you know what? I thought the game was okay. It was a good game. But it was actually just, it was like sort of a sloppy football game. But the thing is, I just realized with this team, this organization is that we win these games like a game like this, but then we lose to the Carolina Panthers. We still follow the same pattern. What's happening here is I'm witnessing that we're going to be in the same position next year for a quarterback where we're going to be sitting on the outside looking in. There's going to be about three or four more teams that are going to have a worse record than ours. Like we got the Carolina Panthers, you got the Titans, you've got the Giants, and a couple other teams that are looking for quarterbacks. And there's only three good quarterbacks in this next draft that I like, and I don't even.
Oh, you're making the call? You're making the call that there's only three quarterbacks?
Whoa!
Wow! We got to hire Gwareb to be the scouting director of the NFL because he has declared that there's only three. I think there's more than that, but there's only three according to Gwareb. And by the way, I'll say this, wherever the Raiders finish, I think one thing that's going to benefit them is that there's teams that the New England Patriots aren't going to be looking for a quarterback, and they're going to be a bad football team that's going to have a high draft pick. The Chicago Bears, we'll see where they end up, but they may end up with the top 10 pick considering where kind of things are with them right now. They're not going to be drafting a quarterback. So there will be an opportunity wherever the Raiders are picking this year more than last year to maybe trade up to get one of those quarterbacks. But you got to get three because Gwareb is saying that it's only three. So forget about anybody else.
Vinny, Sanders, you got Sanders, Cam Ward, and I love the kid Milrow. Those are the three quarterbacks. They have to come down with one of those quarterbacks. Forget Carson Beck and forget Quinn Ewers, all right? I'm telling you, they're not going to be nearly as good as those three other kids. How about that one?
Thank you, Gwareb, for
the
call.
Let's see what happens at the end of the year.
I want Arch Manning.
I want to give a game ball to Tyreek.
What are you going to do, kidnap him?
I want Manning blood.
You got to wait a couple years for that, Vincenzo. Yeah, the Alabama kid, by the way. What a great game.
Gwareb,
can I tell you?
Tyreek McAllister?
Can I tell you? I know exactly. Gwareb didn't watch the game. Can I tell you, Q, at the Crust and Rue during that Alabama game. I don't know if you know this or not, but Q is a massive Alabama fan.
No.
Massive Alabama fan. He could be heard. We were at Town Square. We were at Crust and Rue. He probably could be heard screaming and yelling all the way to Allegiant Stadium. This was a man whose team was almost on the verge of blowing a, what was it, a 30-6 lead, I think, at one point. Then they lost the lead. Then they had to come back and win it. But Q was definitely the highlight in the show at Crust and Rue. He was living and dying with his team, and fortunately for
Alabama.
Talk
about a roller coaster.
And their quarterback is legit. So, yeah, I think there's more than three good quarterbacks in this draft. It's starting to kind of shape up as a pretty decent quarterback draft. I think maybe even a better quarterback draft than we anticipated coming into this season. But we'll see. But Guarab has laid down the law. But there's only three good quarterbacks.
You know, in hockey, there's a term, take a hit to make a play.
Yes.
We hear it a lot in hockey. Maybe that's where Guarab's at. Tyreek McAllister got hit a lot.
I know, but so, maybe the player got of the hit game. A lot.
He did, too. And it was good to see just their usage of speed and finding the ability to use him on a sweep. That's just the essence of where maybe just the tip of the iceberg of where this offense could get to.
And I
think he's going to catch a couple before it's all said and done.
And I know we're being he did take a couple hard hits, but
very much there, so. There he had to leave the field.
There was a feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, when he did catch it, it was like, all right, is this the moment? Like there was moments when he had that, it was like, oh, is this going to happen right now? So if fans are feeling that, and if we're feeling that, as someone who covers, I'm curious, what the feeling was on the field of special teams coordinators and coaches being like, I don't know if we want that guy getting the ball on the Cleveland side.
Yeah, and right now for the first time this year, prior to Sunday, it was Trey Tucker exclusively on punt
returns. Because
of
his elevated role, probably with Devontae out, they wanted to keep him fresh.
No doubt, and I'm of the belief, I think you need to get McAllister out there.
I've been saying it since the roster was set.
He's just somebody that when you're looking for ways to get playmakers the
sparks.
Ball, yeah. And this is nothing against Trey Tucker. It's just that I think with his elevated role, and you have a Tyreek McAllister who showed us in preseason, and that was against a bunch of hungry kids that wanted to make the other team.
Mm-hmm.
What he's able to do with the ball in his hands. So I just feel like maybe. I know he botched that one, and he ended up getting 21 yards. Still, he had to turn around and go up the field. That's where he got that massive hit, by the way. But if he can secure that ball, and I've seen him enough in practice to know that he can. I just think that that's an explosive play waiting to happen, and so maybe just go ahead and let him be the punt returner from now on.
It's interesting. It feels like we're in week four. Injuries are piling up, but it already feels like the Raiders have more options everywhere than maybe 2 weeks ago. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
They're down 6 to 7 starters, but it feels like there's more opportunity for different things to happen.
Right.
A DJ Turner. I mean, if Gardner Minshew makes the throw he needs to make on that opening drive, DJ Turner has himself a 70-yard touchdown.
Right.
Or a 68-yard touchdown.
Right, exactly.
And his touchdown run, I mean, that was awesome to behold because there was like five other defenders coming towards him, and Tucker obviously did a great job by blocking his guy out of the sidelines, but that was all DJ Turner.
And his pivot from the sideline, turning up, the acceleration. I mean, again, there's... It feels like there's a lot of opportunity, right? And to the point that we've kind of been making all day today on a Victory Monday for the Raiders is that, when Devontae does come back in the fold, you obviously want a player of that ilk. But now it's about it becomes even more on Luke Getsy to get these guys their touches and do it in meaningful moments and doing it. Not necessarily creative ways where you're doing all the jets. Maybe they are jet sweeps. Maybe
just get them the ball.
But finding ways to get them the ball is now the new task, right? That is the
because they've earned
the new
too.
Challenge because they've proven what they can do with it in their hands.
702-365-9200. We'll clear the lines for you to get a chance to win two tickets to see the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. It comes up at TPC Summerlin, October 17th through the 20th. See some of the best golfers in the world at beautiful TPC Summerlin. Be caller number 9. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets. 702-365-9200.
I want to sit down.
The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan.
Oh! Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh!
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 Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
Wrapping up hour number 3 on the Morning Tailgate with the final sit-down. And Clay, you know who might need a sit-down? Oh, Baker Mayfield and the GOAT himself, Tom Brady.
Yeah, introduce yourself, Tom, to Baker.
Who knew?
Sit him down and let's have a talk.
Who knew this was the rivalry that we needed in our lives? Now, for those that are unaware of the happenings on Sunday while they were fully fixated on the silver and black in Allegiant Stadium, apparently, 2 weeks ago, Baker Mayfield popped up on a podcast, as many athletes do these days, and they're asked a myriad of things from the random to the analytical. And the subject was broached about him choosing Tampa Bay. And according to Baker Mayfield, he was brought into Tampa Bay to quote, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun because Brady's presence in the previous years were, quote, a high-strung environment.
Okay.
Winning championships is stressful. Winning a championship, I should say, for that organization is stressful. So those comments obviously resurfaced this weekend. And Tom Brady was asked about those comments and what he thought. Here's what the GOAT had to say.
No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, you know, as you were saying, go ahead. I feel like there's more in there to say.
There's a way to approach this game,
yeah,
and it's that with the right mindset and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone, and great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
Guy's not having fun.
That diatribe was not done. He waited, later went on to say, no apologies. He says, it's still in. He was asked, you sound still. Burkhart said, you're still fired up. He goes, oh, it's still in there. There's no apologies. And I don't necessarily think, you know, this is Brady going at Baker, because Baker was basically saying what he was told when he came in. But Brady takes umbrage with anybody who says it was stressful. If I want to go have fun, I'm going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
This isn't daycare.
This is amazing. This is the quality stuff we're getting from Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's good. Everyone every day is going to be combing anything that anyone has ever said about Tom Brady one way or another.
And then Burkhart's got to be the one to tee it up, yeah, for him and get the ire of Tom Brady.
It's must-listen television. Hey, thank you so much for listening to us. You can hear it up on the podcast page at lvsportsnetwork.com. For Vinny Bonsignor and Vince Sapienza, I'm Clay Baker. Rich Eisen's next. Have a great day, everybody, here on Raider Nation Radio. Enjoy your victory.